Hallelujah, hallelujah, my God, Lord, you deserve all the praise, hallelujah, you deserve all the praise, hallelujah, my God, praise the Lord, everybody, hallelujah, hallelujah, I don't think you hear me, afternoon matter listeners, praise the Lord, everybody, hallelujah, you have tuned into Afternoon Matter Radio, yes, Afternoon Manor Radio. I am your host, Apostle Tashana Wiley, and I am excited on today. Hallelujah. Oh, my God, this is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, we beseech thee. Oh, Lord, we beseech thee. Send us a now prosperity. Hallelujah. You have tuned into Afternoon Manor Radio. This is the show, and we begin to talk about some real things that goes on in leadership and in the body of Christ. This is the show where this is a lunch rush. So this is the show where you can be riding in your car, listening to your Jesus music, hallelujah, listening to the word of the Lord, getting encouraged, getting motivated, have a little laughter. Remember, Psalm 24 says the Lord laughs. Hallelujah, you can laugh. While you're on your lunch break, you can get motivated, encouraged, inspired, and still listen to your Jesus music. Hallelujah. I'm just super excited on today about the things that God is doing in his people's life. My God, he is really spoiling us, men and women of God. Hallelujah. He is spoiling us because we are his children, and I am truly uplifted on today. I have always have a co-host. Because you guys know we do morning manna, and now we're doing afternoon and morning manna. So I always have a co-host to host the show with me, and I'm excited about my co-host. She's been on morning manna a few times, hallelujah. And she's a powerful woman of God, hallelujah. She's an alumni, 2015 graduate, hallelujah. She does a little bit of everything in the ministry. I'm going to let her tell you guys what she do and the things that she do. And I want to present to some and introduce to others, Prophetess Shanika Malloy. The mic is yours, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I am excited to be back again on the Afternoon Manor Radio Show. I am expecting God to show up and show out and to blow us off the Richter scale. Amen, amen.
Before we get ready to get started on, you know, some topics on today, hallelujah, I just want to just read a little bit of the word. Today is Wednesday, and I love Wednesdays because Wednesdays is winning. Wonderful. Wisdom compels wealth Wednesday. Let me say that again. Today is a day of winning. No matter what you face on this day, just know that you all, God, have already orchestrated, already ordained, already appointed your victory on today. So know that you have a winning spirit. Winning is all around you. Matter of fact, you can look around you right now and you can see the winning that has already taken place in your life. And today is a wonderful day. Just no matter what you face, no matter what phone calls you got, no matter what mail you got, just know that you're going to have a wonderful day. Declare that to yourself. Matter of fact, touch yourself right now and say, I am going to have a wonderful day. Yes, hallelujah. And it's wisdom. Today is a wise day. Today is a day that we really deposit wisdom in our life. God has given us wisdom and insight and knowledge and understanding and brilliance in our life. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. And it compels wealth. My God. On this wonderful Wednesday, that wealth is coming your way. People, many people think wealth is always where you're going to get finances. Wealth is always, oh my God, healing. Hallelujah. Wealth can be wealthy in your mind because you got joy like no other. Wealthy can be how that no one's going to take away your mood, destroy the way you think, change, oh my God, your feelings of your greatness on today. Oh my God, wealth comes in so many forms. Hallelujah. That will make you feel like you was a billionaire times over. I'm telling you. Some days, oh my God, I be so in my own world. I promise you, it's like I stay in literally a castle, literally. I'm telling you, I be, it's like last night I had such a great night. I had time with the Lord, spent time listening to my gospel rap, my gospel music working out, and just had my headphones on. It was like I was in a whole nother realm. I mean, I had a great time. Oh my God, I'm telling you, when you just have time and fun with God, it makes you feel so wonderful, so wealthy. It just, oh my God, just makes your day just feel beautiful. My God. So just know that today is winning, wonderful. Wisdom compels wealth Wednesday. No matter what, God has already deposited. When you waking up on this morning and you commanded your day, God has already designed, time, my God, for this day to be a wealthy day. I'm telling you, expect the unexpected on today. Expect somebody to even call you and bless you on today. Expect something to come in the mailbox on today. Check your bank account during this broadcast or even after the broadcast. The banks don't close until 6, some close at 5. Some still have transfers even after hours. Expect something great to happen. Expect finding money. Expect something, oh, my God, just expect something wealthy on today. Hallelujah. Before we get started, I want to read to you Proverbs 8, and this is what God gave me on today. It's one of my favorite Proverbs, actually. I love Proverbs. I'm telling you, starting today, you can start today or you can start on the first, whatever way you choose. I taught this in the ministry classes that a proverb a day keeps the no-names away. I'm telling you, you read Proverbs every day of your life. You can read how many you want. Or you can mix it up, start like with the first, read the first proverb, or whatever you want to do, scramble it up, whatever way you choose. I'm telling you, if you keep, you read a proverb a day, I promise you, it will make your day go great. Hallelujah. Proverbs 8 says, wisdom is calling. Ah, my God. Just know that wisdom is calling us on today. On this wisdom compels wealth, wisdom is calling. Understanding is raising her voice. On the heights along the road, where the paths meet, she is standing by the gates. Leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud. I'm going to stop right there. See that? Wisdom is calling us on today. How many is ready to answer the call of wisdom? Ha, I got my hand up. Hallelujah. How many is ready to answer the call of wisdom? That wisdom is calling us. And she's calling us because she wants us to be wealthy. Hallelujah. I love Ecclesiastes 5:19, and that's also a wisdom and a knowledge book. And I love what Ecclesiastes 5:19 says in the NLT version. It says it's a good thing to receive wealth from God, but an even better thing to receive good health too. Enjoy your work, accept your lot in life. Those are indeed gifts from God. Don't you know that good health and good wealth is indeed a gift from God? I just shared this with a pastor the other day, and I mean, she was fresh off the press, and I just feel just compelled to even tell you this, guys. God, let us know the other day. We were just talking, just randomly just talking about the Lord and things like that. And the Lord said a lot of us would be healthy if we had wealth, because a lot of our health issues are from, you know, not having the wealth because of stress. So just know that wisdom is calling us. Wisdom is calling us because it's God's will and God's order to give us wealth. Hallelujah. Verse 4 says, people, I am calling you. See, she didn't even put no name on it. I hope somebody catching this and listening to this. She didn't even put no name on it. Wisdom didn't even put a name on it. She said, people, I am calling you. That means whoever listening to this broadcast right now, who's ever in the chat room right now, who's ever listening from Skype, whoever going to listen to this broadcast later, that wisdom is calling you. She lets you know in verse 1, wisdom is calling. And then in verse 4, she says, people, I am calling you. Raising my voice to all mankind. Come on now. That means everybody all over the world. Right now, wisdom is calling your number. You going to click over and pick up? Ah, my God. Are you going to answer the call from Skype? Are you going to answer her calling you through your Facebook, your Twitter? Are you going to answer wisdom that's calling you on today? Hallelujah. She says, you who don't direct your lives, understand caution. As for you, you fool, get some common sense. My God, now she was straight blunt right there, keeping it 100 with us. Hallelujah. We got to get some common sense in the things that we do in God. Hallelujah. My God, tomorrow we're having a workshop back on here on this radio. Hallelujah. And it's going to be awesome. We're going to talk about the different realms of wealth and how, oh, my God, how we can walk in. And, I'm going to go through 6 through 10, and I'm going to stop. She says, I'm going to do 6 through 14, I'm going to stop. She says, listen, I will say worthwhile things when I speak. My words are right. My mouth says what is true, because my lips detest evil. All the words from my mouth are righteous. Nothing false or crooked is in them. Don't you know when you begin to study wisdom and deposit wisdom and dissect wisdom that it'll allow you to even speak differently? My God. One of the most favorite quoted scriptures that the saints of God and the children of God quote is Proverbs 18:21, but I don't think they really even listen to what that really means, because Proverbs 8 breaks it down before 10 chapters later it begins to come in Proverbs 18:21 that says death and life is in the power of the tongue and those that eat the fruits therein. Wisdom is already letting us know. If we begin to grab it and listen and answer the call of wisdom, it will allow us to not even, we will only speak the righteous things of God out of our mouth, and we can control the things that we speak, my God. Verse 8 says, all the words from my mouth are righteous. Nothing false or crooked is in them. They are all clear to those who understand and straightforward to those who gain knowledge. You see that? When we begin to deposit the wisdom of God, hallelujah, we begin to think differently. We begin to speak differently. And, you know, first it starts with our mindset. Once we get our mindset to think into a wealthy place and a winning state and a wonderful state, that's when we begin automatically to not speak negative words. No matter what we're thinking, we can 86 that. It says cast down all imaginations and vain imaginations. And we can cast those imaginations down, pulling down demonic strongholds because we're having wisdom in our mind to catch what we say out of our mouths. Hallelujah. And then it says in verse 10, receive my instruction rather than silver, knowledge rather than finest gold, for wisdom is better than pearls. Nothing you want can compare with her. You see that? Why do you think Solomon said in 1 Kings 3, Lord, he didn't ask for wealth in you. That's why the Lord was so in awe and so amazed by the things that Solomon said, that he said, since you didn't ask for wealth or riches or the death of your enemies, I'm going to give you what you asked for and give you even more what you asked for. Why did the Lord say that? The Lord said that because he wanted wisdom, because he knew if he had the wisdom of God that the wealth would automatically compel itself. You see that? Wisdom compels wealth. When you walk in wisdom, I promise you, wealth is not even an option for you. I promise you, on today, begin to start reading a proverb. Just today, just read a chapter, read a verse or whatever, just let the Lord lead you, and I promise you it will change your life. And then come back in 30 days, inbox me, email me, text me, whatever. Do it consistently, though, every day, for 30 days. I promise you your life will be changed, and you will see how the way you think, you will see the way you pray, you will see the way you talk, the way you handle your wealth. You will see so many great things coming into your life. Verse 12 says, I, wisdom, live together with caution. I attain knowledge and discretion. The fear of Adonai is hatred of evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil ways and duplicitous speech. Good advice is mine. Common sense. I am inside power is mine. How you see that? When we begin to walk in the wisdom of God and we walk in the power of the Lord, good advice automatically is ours. Success is ours. Common sense is ours. Insight is ours. And power is ours automatically. Verse 15 says, by me kings reign, and princes make just laws. By me prince governs, nobles too, and all the earth rulers. I love those who love me, and those who seek me will find me. Verse 18, and then I'm done. Riches and honor are with me, lasting wealth and righteousness. You see that? Wisdom already broken down to us. See, we're praying for the one wrong thing. A lot of us, oh, Lord, send me the money, send me the wealth. Oh, Lord, I need to pray for wisdom. When you pray for wisdom, it's already been told in 1 Kings 3. Pray for wisdom. On to begin, let your prayers even change. Pray for wisdom, and I promise you it automatically compels wealth. Why? Because the Lord done it from Solomon in his sleep, y'all. Come on now. In his sleep. In his sleep, the Lord automatically, oh, my God, bless Solomon in his sleep because of wisdom. So begin to just pray. Pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. You heard what it said, wisdom said. Pray. Pray. Listen to my call. Listen to me answering. Begin to pray for wisdom and then watch the wealth automatically manifest in your life. Watch the wealth automatically to come to pass in your life. Automatically watch the wealth to just triumph in your life. Watch it just spring up. I'm telling you, God has even been teaching me different certain words that most of the powerful people in the Bible said that granted the Lord requests. I love one of the things that Esther said, and it's one of my daily declarations, and the Lord gave it to me. I think it was like the last time I spoke on the mother's call, the mother's board Sunday, I think like a month ago, and the Lord had gave me how Queen Esther, how she began to make a decree unto the Lord, and how it blessed her life, that everything that Haman tried to do, everything the enemy tried to do in her life, it was canceled. And it's out of Esther 8, verse 5, and I'm reading out the NLT. She said, if it pleases the king, and I know I find favor with you, and if you think it's right, asking you to please what's in your sight, let there be a decree that it reverse everything in my life for my good and for your name's sake. Come on now. Oh, my God. So we begin to say, Lord, if it's pleasing to the king, and I know I find favor in your eyes, oh God, and if you think what is right for me, and if I'm pleasing to your sight, let there be a decree that reverts everything in my life for my good, and everybody who I'm in contact with, bless them too. Oh, my God, if you begin to say those words, you will begin to see a change in your life. You will begin to see a transformation in your life, and you will begin to see God literally hands, his hands, his glory, his power, his image, his being in your life. You will begin to see a transformation in your life if you truly begin to begin to say those words. So begin to just start taking your prayer life up, your studying time up. Literally, I'm telling you, it is mandatory. It is truly vital for us as leaders and leadership, and us as being saints of God and children of God, to really be in that word this time. I know everybody said in the last evil days, the Lord said, no, why everybody thinking about the negative thing in the last good days? In these last good days, we need to begin to really, truly be in the face of God and studying that word. Don't you know those key words right there will bless your life, just like with Elijah. In 1 Kings 17:1, one of the things he said, and it's one of my daily affirmations and declarations now, he said, surely the Lord God is the Lord whom I serve. Neither rain nor dew shall happen because I said so and accepted my word, meaning that ain't nothing going to take place in the land because he said so, because he's a prophet. Hallelujah. So just know if you're a prophet or you got prophetic flow in your life, whether you are an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, or just even a saint, because you have the prophetic flow on your life, you can begin to say, surely the Lord God is the Lord whom I serve. Neither sickness or affliction or poverty shall come near my household, nor my children, my grandchildren, or even the body of Christ that I'm connected to, because I said so. How? That means you done already told the earth realm, you done already commanded things in the world, my God, to not come near you. How, my God? And if you read 1 Kings 17, when Elijah said that, it didn't rain until he said so, literally. And it was, oh, my God. And it was even so strong with that declaration that he made, that his word was so powerful that in 1 Kings 18, he had to put his head between his legs 7 times in order for him to even see the cloud the size of a man's fist, because that declaration was so strong. If you read that in 1 Kings 18, the first time he prayed, it didn't rain. The second time, it didn't rain. The third time, because that decree that he made in 1 Kings 17:1 was so powerful. It was such a phenomenon, anointing, that he had to pray 7 times. And even to the point of the 7th time, it still didn't say it rained. It said that he saw the cloud of the size of a man's fist. So he knew it was going to rain. And then he told them to tell Ahab to eat, drink, and be merry, because here comes the sound of abundance of rain. So we have to begin to know that the same way that God heard Elijah, my God, is the same way that the Lord hears us. James 5 lets us know that Elijah was just a man, a human being, just as we are. But yet he prayed for it not to rain in 3.5 years, and the Lord listened to him. So come on now. Who am I talking to on today? You've been praying and praying and praying and seeking God, and you've been asking God for new ways to begin to tap into heaven. You want to transform your life. You want to go higher. You're tired of doing things the same. Well, this is the radio show for you. God anointed you and already ordained for you to listen to this broadcast so you can begin to know what to pray for, what to say, and what to do to see God literally moving in your life. Hallelujah. Prophet Sanika, the mic is yours. What do you have to say about what God just said to us about Proverbs 8? The mic is yours.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just thank the Lord, because as you were reading that, and he said that you have to get that in your mindset. And after we get that, we have the power and authority and anointing to have wisdom and to request it from God and to know that he'll bless us with it. Once we get it in our mindset, then we have to get it in our spirit. Once we get it in our spirit, then we can begin to speak it. And I just thank the Lord for that, because most of us know what Psalms 139 says, to search us, O Lord, and see if there's anything pleasing to you. And that's something that when we ask the Lord to do that, we should also ask the Lord to search us and see if we really have wisdom. And if we don't have it, how do we get it? And I just thank the Lord for that, because Proverbs 8 reminded me of Proverbs 4:6-8, where it says, do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it costs all of you, all that you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. So I just thank the Lord about wisdom, because we have wisdom. We just need to activate it every single day, along with commanding our morning to line up with the word of God. And that is all I have. Amen, amen.
Amen. That was definitely, oh my God, powerful. Definitely, like you said, that before we ask for wisdom, begin to ask God to see that we really have wisdom. And it's so funny because, as you were saying, that it kind of took me back to God and Solomon, the conversation in his dream. Remember, he was already anointed and appointed king at the time. He was already an ordained king. But yet, you know, most people think, well, because, you know, David was his dad, and, you know, he was, you know, at the time 17, you know, he probably had wisdom. Because you remember, if you read 1 Kings 1, and on David, matter of fact, I'm going to go to it and read it to you guys so you guys can get this. Also, too, the Proverbs 8 that I just read, I read that out of the Complete Jewish Bible. I've been studying that. One of the Eagles had bought me that months back last year, and it's one of my daily. I love to study that with the Amplified, and it's just so off the chain. So begin to start reading the Complete Jewish Bible. You can go on into our website, I'm in Ruby, and then push on where it said Bible Gateway, and it will take you right there, and you can read that. I mean, the Complete Jewish Bible is the bomb. I'm going to read to you guys 1 Kings 1, Solomon, and then we're going to understand what kind of like what Prophet Sanika had just spoken about praying to God for wisdom. Because, you know, a lot of people in leadership and, you know, people that have that traditional religious spirit, you know, the first thing they'll say, oh, well, I got wisdom. It ain't even a problem. But, you know, I'm going to get ready to give you a revelation of how we can think we have something, but we can reckon we can find out that, you know, it's not what we think it is. Hallelujah. Okay, 1 Kings 1, here it goes right here. Okay, it's towards the end when David, Adonijah tried to steal the throne from Solomon, and David has spoke some declarations to King Solomon. Hold on 1 second, I'm finding it. It was his last, actually these were the last words of David that he spoke to his son. Okay. Hold on 1 second. Hallelujah. Well, as I'm looking for it, I know it by heart, so I'm gonna get to that scripture for you guys. But hallelujah. But anyway, as the part of it is that King David was on his deathbed after Solomon. He began to let him know that you have wisdom. You know, walk in obedience of the Lord. You know, act like a man. You're a man of great wisdom, and always allow God to lead you. And that is how, you know, he already made a charge and an impartation and an affirmation unto King Solomon. So, but King Solomon wanted more. He knew that it wasn't all that his father did. He knew it was more for him. He knew it was more for him that he needed. He knew that it was more. Okay, here we go. 1 Kings 2. It's in 1 Kings 2. Okay, here we go. 1 Kings 2. It says, I'm reading out the NIV version. It says, when the time drew near to David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. He says, I'm about to go the way of all the earth, he said. So be strong, act like a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations as written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do, my God, and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. If your descendants watch how they live, you see that? My God, speak to us, Lord. Watch how your descendants live, and if they walk faithfully before me, with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. Now, you yourself know what Joab, son of Zeruiah, did to me, what he did to the two commanders of Israel's army, Abner, son of Ner, and Amasa, son of Jether. He killed them, shedding his blood in peacetime. And I'm going to go down to verse 7. But show kindness to the son of Beruzali and Gilead, and let them among those eat at your table. They stood with me when I fled from your brother Absalom. And remember, you have with you Shimeon, son of Gera, the Benjamite, and Baraam, who called down bitter curses to me on the day I went to Menahem. Now, you heard that right there? You see the decree and the charge and the impartation that David still told his son in 1 Kings 2, verse 1 through 4. But yet in 1 Kings 3, Solomon still felt that he needed more wisdom. He is kind of like what Prophet Samika said, he needed more. He wanted more of thee. He wanted more of God. He knew it was more than what his father had deposited in him. He knew that that wisdom was okay, but he knew that wasn't all he needed to be king, to be a ruler over all of God's people. If you read 1 Kings 3, remember he said, I'm going to read this to you right now too. He said, I'm going to that now. He said, remember, your people are too numerous, too count, too great. So he knew he needed more than just that. Okay, here it goes right here. And this is going to really bless you. If you read 1 Kings 1, 2, and 3, it'll really let you know who Solomon truly, really was. Okay, here it goes. It says in verse 4, it says, 1 Kings 3, verse 4, it says, the king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. Now I'm going to stop right there. Those burnt offerings was him giving God a seed, an offering. He just didn't go to God empty-handed. He knew he wanted something from the Lord, and he offered something unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And it says, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. Now I'm going to stop right there. God gave this great king, the third king in the whole wide world, all this wisdom, wealth, knowledge, understanding in his sleep. Come on now, somebody. Somebody should really get excited. If you're a dreamer, you should be super excited. God gave this man all of these things in his sleep. In his sleep. He was blessed tremendously from his sleep. Come on now, somebody. From his sleep, this man was chosen. No other person had wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from his sleep. So imagine all the dreams that God comes to us and speaks to us in our sleep. Even this morning, I had such a powerful dream. I was like, my God, it seems so real. When my daughter came home from work and waking me up, I didn't even want to get waking up. I tried to go back and say, Lord, can I get back there? I was like, man, I want to go back. It was just so real, so powerful with God. It was so awesome, my God. I'm telling you, from your dreams, don't never, never throw away your dreams. I have this book called Understand the Dreams You Dream by Ira Milligan. And the first introduction he says in that dream is that a lot of us, we throw away our dreams like junk mail. And we don't really keep it in. We really don't deposit it like we're supposed to. We throw it away like junk mail. And so, remember, when you have dreams, get you a dream journal. Get you a notebook and an ink pen next to your bed. And when you get up, write it down. Write it down. Write down your dreams. Put the date and time to it because those dreams are going to manifest and those dreams are going to come to pass. Now, 1 Kings 3, this is what I want to read to you guys. Solomon, okay, and after that, the Lord said in verse 5, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on the throne this very day. Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duty. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? Hallelujah. You see that right there? Solomon was already ordained, already appointed, anointed king, already charged by his father, but yet he knew he needed more. He knew. He was 17 years old. He even came to the Lord as a child. You heard me say, I'm just a little child. I'm just a child. What did Jesus say? Oh, my God, you have to become humble as a child in order to inherit the kingdom of heaven. If you come humble as one of little thee, my God, we have to begin to have that childlike faith. It's kind of like how my... Just a minute ago, my daughter came with my grandson, and he was following his mother because he was following his mother to get something for him to eat. He followed. He had childlike faith that she was going to get up out of her sleep, no matter how long she worked, to get up to give him what he wanted. Come on now, somebody. Who am I talking to? We've got to begin to have that childlike faith. One thing with us in the body of Christ and leaders, we think we're too grown. We think we know everything. We think even God can't tell us what to do. We don't even obey God. We only take parts of the Bible that we want to feel convenient for us at the time. We say we love God, but yet we... We don't follow even half of the things that even said in the first three verses of the Bible. My God. So we don't even, Lord, speak to us. We don't even really understand what God is saying to us. But God is saying to us that I want you to have that childlike faith. When you have that childlike faith, that's when you really can see the kingdom of heaven in your life. So I'm just excited on today. I'm excited because you know what I told God today before I prayed before this radio broadcast? I told God, I said, God, I want this broadcast to begin to make it so clear to us that everyone that listens to this, that they literally will truly walk in the uprightness before you, and they will really walk in holiness. Oh, my God, when the Lord gave us an acronym for holy on Sunday, my God, have an obedient lifestyle within you. Hallelujah, that we begin to have an obedient lifestyle. God is letting us know that he wants us to begin to become humble as a child and not thinking that we know everything. We done got to the point that nobody can tell us nothing. Don't you know back in the biblical times and back when our grandparents were children and our parents, even when I was even little, the people listened to their leader. Even when their leader was wrong and they were starting so wrong from A to Z, they will still have the respect of the God in them and listen and will just not even say anything. We'll go home and pray about it, and God will give the leader the revelation of that person's prayer. Now we're like, you can't tell me nothing. You can't know that. And if we so out of order, but then we want God to bless us like Solomon. Oh, my God. Then we want God to bless us like David. Oh, Lord, give me all like David. David obeyed, oh, my God, leadership. Come on now, somebody. The Bible says in 1 Samuel that David, when he had Solomon releasing himself, going to the bathroom, he could have chopped the man's head off, but he only cut a little piece of his royal hamlet to let him know that I could have killed you, but I respect God's anointing. I will not put my mouth, I will not hurt, I will not do anything wrong to God's anointed. Oh, my God. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. Even when his enemies would die, he would holler and cry out for them. When Abner, son of Ner, died and Joab killed him, he would cry and say, Abner, Abner, he's a good man. He cried out for his son, Absalom, Absalom, Absalom. Oh, how I wish I died instead of you. Come on now. He was not like us. And we all said, I'm not a heart like David. Really? We don't even listen to no authorities, no matter if it's in ministry, our bosses, our landlords, whatever it may be. We think we know everything. And if we really knew everything, think about this. Now, this is a question I even got my hand on my head right now. If we really knew anything, do you think we'll be going through some of the things that we face now or some of the tests, trials, and tribulations that we face or some of the things we're praying to God now about us to get us out of? Even Solomon and all his wisdom, knowledge, and understanding still face so many tests and challenges. Come on now. Lord, help us. Help us, Jesus. We have to really begin to come humble as a child. One thing about children I love about children, and I'm telling you, God has really been blessing me with my grandchildren being around me a lot lately. I really begin such a revelation with them. One thing about children is if they bump their head and you may, you know, tell them no or, you know, do whatever you may do to discipline them, they still will love you and they still will listen to you. They'll cry for a minute, you'll get a little mad a little bit, and still run back to you and jump in your lap and still want something from you and still listen to you, tell them to sit down. It is so amazing. Oh, my God. That's how God wants us to be. Just remember that when you had your children, they was little. Or remember your grandchildren or even yourself when you was a child, when you would get disciplined, you know, that didn't faze you. You went back and still loved your parents and you still listened to them and you still obeyed them. And you still trusted in them for everything in your life, and you was willing to learn along the way. That's how God wants us to be. So willing to learn along the way. I love the acronym that God gave us for flying, because we said we're a platinum eagle and we fly. Forever learning you. This is a forever learning you process in ministry. I don't care if you're 110 years old. You don't know everything. You're going to learn daily. You're going to deposit wisdom daily. You're going to learn how to manage your life daily, your anointing, your wealth, your marriage, your relationship with your children every day. I promise you, I'm learning some things every day about my children that I thought I knew I didn't know, and they're 22. They're 22 and 20 years old and 16. I'm learning every day. You're going to learn every day about who you are, your identity, your anointing, and the things that God wants for your life. Hallelujah. Prophet Anika, what do you have to say what God has just said to us? The mic is yours.
Amen, amen, amen. Yes, Lord, we have to be obedient because the Bible says in 2 John 1:6, And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. So if you love the Lord, you will be obedient and do what he called you to do. Because the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. So when he gives you wisdom, he expects you to obey the wisdom that he is giving you and to be obedient and to love one another. And I just thank the Lord that when you are speaking about obedience, it ties in into wisdom. And I love how King Solomon then just asked for more wisdom. He didn't ask for health, wealth, or his enemies to be killed. And that's something that we all can learn from his example, that when we go to God in prayer, we should ask God to give us things that are going to make us better Christians. And I always go to God and ask him for wealth or health or prosperity, but sometimes just to come to God and say, Lord, I need more love. Lord, I need more mercy and grace. Lord, I need more faith. I need more understanding, more discernment. So I just thank the Lord for reminding us that we should pray like King Solomon did and just ask the Lord to give us things that will make us better shepherds to his people. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Bless you, bless you. That's definitely really good. We definitely truly need to begin to ask God to give us more, hallelujah, more wisdom, more knowledge, more understanding, hallelujah. I'm about to get ready and go into a little break. I'm going to play a song called The King, hallelujah, and it's an awesome song. You got to listen to the word. I told you this is afternoon manna. A lot of people on a lunch break, and you can just vibe to listening to your Jesus music and listening to the word, hallelujah. And it's by Lecrae, and it's Lecrae and Flame. They're the gospel rappers, and this song is really good. Listen to the intro of the song and listen to the words, because he is the King, and Jesus Christ is his name. Hallelujah. We'll be back after this broadcast.
Let's establish that he's Israel's king. So in Matthew 1:1 and on to 1:17, we see his lineage and trace way back in the time that legally he was fine in the Davidic line. And genealogically, he's still king of the Jews, because the book of Luke exposes genetical clues. See, a true king, though he didn't do it in the physical, he brought a new covenant, the freedom and the spiritual. And after some time, wise men from the east came looking for the newborn king in the streets. I know some of you dudes may cruise a forerunner, but Christ had a dude to use as a forerunner. Oh, your promoter don't cut it like John the Baptist. Right. You need publicity stunts, so you dating an actress. Oh. A real king got somebody bringing the news that his kingdom's at hand and they ain't fit to lace up his shoes. So tell me, who's anointing all these so-called kings? They all self-proclaimed in Maine. That's a dangerous thing.
What?
That's tight, grand. Tight.
Feeling it, for real.
Yeah. Okay. See, a lot of cats going around talking about they the king, you know what I'm saying? King of this, the king of that. Well, I think we need to get this straight. There's only one true king. Hey, Flame, come help your boy out, man. Let's get into this one, man. Yeah. Who the real king?
He was raised up in Nazareth and raised on a thizzer. Never got drunk, got high. Prophesied King Isaiah 9.
That's the wizard.
He's the real king, and it don't matter.
A king's a real shepherd, dog. Asking people's favor, y'all. Not a self-seeking player, all about the paper, dog. Call him the Messiah, anointed one to save you, bro. Call him on the humble, but you'll see him rain later. These self-proclaimed kings bragging because they on chrome. But 26 inches is a pretty low throne. Like kids playing in their daddy's clothes when he's gone.
Hey, Flame, man, why don't you enlighten us who the king is, dog? Let's get it.
Oh, how excellent is his essence, we reverence his name. Ooh. While silly peasants, we presently trying to steal his fame. Ooh. You carry 45 AKs, king of the fools. But you can't make a day, you can't take away from the king of the twos. You wanna buy the major day when you face to face, we let you know who. We wanna be a king with bling and do major things, but he's a bling league. You must be joking, you smoking, plus you buying that Buddha. Ooh. I define him when you can rely on the lion of Judah. Ooh. Supreme ruler, shining brighter than Jacob the jeweler. Jewelry, cause it's true indeed, he's saving the truth. Cross the price and that's true. Follow him, lose your life and that's true. Gain new life, you got to let lose you. Of your own throne and follow Jesus. Rolling big whips, I'll make you no pain. Out of those splits, I'll make you no king. Putting big screens, I'll make you no pain. Packing them keys, I'll make you no king. You can run a trap, own a house that's more black and mild. You be a king when you can do things like roll back the clouds.
Who the king?
Who the king?
Who the king?
Who rules over the earth in its entirety will be back to reign. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Jesus Christ is King of the Kings. Yeah. Respect it.
Amen, amen. My God, my God. I love that song. Who's a king? Jesus Christ running things. Come on now. No matter what we face in this earth realm, my God, you got to know who your king is. My God, who's a king? My God, Jesus Christ running things. No matter what you face, no matter what it looks like, what it sounds like, what it feels like, my God, who is the king? My God, Jesus Christ running things. My God, my God, my God. Prophet Anika, what are you, oh my God, what do you feel about that song we just listened to? My God, the mic is yours.
Amen. I know Jesus Christ is the only king. I don't know about you all, but I was just jamming to the words of the song, letting us know that think they are kings, aren't really kings. They just fronting and buttoning. But how many of you know that Jesus Christ is the only king? Amen, amen. I felt that song in my spirit, and I'm happy that we were able to jam to that because we can learn something from our younger people. And I just thank the Lord that song touched my spirit, and I'm just jamming to it. And it's a song I have got to download on my iTunes account. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Now we're going to get ready to talk about a few other little things a little bit. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to open up the lines and even, hallelujah, bless you, leaving a godly legacy. I love you so much. You always tune in with us and chat with me in the chat room of the radio show site. Bless you, bless you, bless you. And bless you also to our Skype listener. Hallelujah. Always listening every show faithfully. Bless you guys. Hallelujah. Also let other people know about our broadcast. Bless you. We're going to talk about a few little things. Hallelujah. In ministry, we have like another like 50 minutes left on the broadcast, and then, you know, we'll be off. Hallelujah. I just wanted to be like a nice power hour of, you know, afternoon manna. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about, I'm going to ask a question, and I have Prophet Tanika start us off, and then I'm going to open up the lines briefly for a couple of people that is listening in, and I want you to ask, you know, answer the question. Okay, the first topic we're going to talk about is leadership. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, the administrators, the prayer warriors, the deacons, there's people in leadership. Why do you think a lot of them struggle, and what do you think that they struggle with? Why do you think that they struggle, and what do you think they struggle with? Father Samika, the mic is yours first up. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Lord, a lot of leaders struggle with trying to lead their shepherds or trying to lead the people. Most of them don't know if they are hearing the voice of God at all times. And I think a lot of them haven't really learned how to hear the voice of God. And once they learn how to hear the voice of God, then they can be sure that they're hearing his instructions clearly and free and could be able to walk in their calling. But first, I think they have to understand who the voice of God is. And then after that, it'd be easier for them to flow and to lead their sheep. And then two, a lot of them are dealing with, per se, arrogancy, because I'm the pastor, I can do it my way, or it's the highway. And they need to understand that as a leader, you have to be humble at all times. The Lord wants us to be humble and to walk humble. And once we learn how to be humble, all the other stuff will fall into place too, so that we can be obedient and we can lead the shepherd. I mean, as a shepherd, we can lead God's sheep the way it's supposed to be led, and we can be able to do what God has called us to be. But that is what I think are the main two issues. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. It even goes back to that point, as you said, humble. You know, they have arrogancy. They have that pride and Orion on the Leviathan spirit. And you're right. They think they just know everything. I mean, everything. You know, they won't humble. It's kind of like what Jesus said. If you humble yourself, you shall be exalted. And if you exalt yourself, you know, you shall be humbled. And it goes back to James 4, 10 and 11 when it says, humble yourself. You know, humble yourself before the Lord, in the presence of the Lord. Humble yourself. And then he will lift you up to be significant when you humble yourself. And that's one thing with a lot of leaders. They don't want to humble themselves because a lot of times they get the list all messed all up. They think that, you know, they can't. They don't really have to even commit themselves into the Lord. You know, a lot of leaders don't even have covering. You know, a lot of leaders don't even have no one over them to cover them. They're just the leaders, and they have all this stuff upon them. They don't have anybody to cover them or pray for them, and so they don't feel they have to answer to anybody, sometimes not even God. And so that's why a lot of leaders struggle and they go through so much. I know a lot of people, you know, they struggle. And one thing that a lot of leaders says, and, you know, we learned this probably Seneca in the class, the 5 Ministry class in week 6, a lot of them say, oh, I'm not perfect. And that's a generational cliche that everyone says. But I want to read a scripture to you guys right quick, and then I'm going to open up the line to one person to ask this question before we go on to the next question, because these are questions that people I really want to talk about. Matthew 5:48 says, you therefore must be perfect. Be perfect, growing into complete maturity of godliness in mind and character, having reached the proper height of virtue and integrity as your Heavenly Father is perfect. This is letting us know that we can be perfect, perfect in our maturity, perfect in our godliness and our mind and our character. Our character is our soul. And so we can be perfect in that, having reached the proper height in virtue and integrity, because our Heavenly Father is perfect. So when we get to the point, well, you know, we say, I'm not perfect, nobody's perfect. We just say that all the time because we heard it for so long, and we want to excuse the imperfection that we go through. And the Lord is saying plain as day in Matthew 5:48, be ye perfect, for your Heavenly Father is perfect, growing in complete maturity. Don't you know that we can really truly live as close to perfection as we can? If you read in the Bible, you read so deep in the Bible to actually walk in perfection of God. Joseph, you never find anything in there about him. Joseph, Elisha, you know, Ruth, all these people in the Bible, Esther, these people in the Bible, they walked in perfection of God. You know, they walked in the complete maturity of godliness in their mind and character. So from this day forward, never tell yourself, I'm not perfect, or if I made a mistake, I'm not perfect. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:16, a just man, which means a righteous man, a holy man, falls 7 times, but each time you fall, you shall rise again. The problem with it is, it's not falling, it's with staying down and not getting back up to do what you were doing in the first place. So no matter what you face, if you fall, just get on up and keep it moving. Dust that stuff off and keep it moving, and don't allow anything to hinder you to stay down. And that's what a lot of us as leaders, you know, perfectly what we do. We make a mistake, or we whatever we do, we do it, and we'll fall down and stay down. because we hurt so long all of our lives that no one's perfect and we can't be perfect, and so we mess up. And so we will sit ourselves down and we'll move back, we'll walk back, or we don't even do what we was doing before. We was running the YPWW, we won't even do that anymore because we got so in our mind. Whatever man thinketh, so is he. My God. So if we think in our minds we're not perfect, my God, we're not going to be perfect. But if you think in your mind, my God, if you think in your mind that I can be perfect, oh my God, and complete maturity in God, I can be perfect in my mind, I can be perfect in my character, I can be perfect in integrity and humility, and I can be perfect in humbleness, my God, because my Heavenly Father is perfect, what's going to happen? We are going to be perfect in that. My God, speak to us on today, Lord, for your children, your servants are listening. Hallelujah. So that's what we really truly have to do. We really, truly have to begin to go before God and ask him to allow us to be perfect, walk in perfection, and complete maturity. Because a lot of us as leaders, we're not mature at all. I promise you, I've never seen in all my life within the last years of so many leaders that are literally leaders in the fivefold that is not mature at all. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I'm telling you, it's like, our children as kids, as under the age of 18, could probably be leaders. You know, like the Bible says in 2 Kings 22, that King Josiah, 8 years old, was a king, and he walked in maturity because he had godly counsel. Half of these leaders now are way older than King Josiah, and they don't even walk in half of the maturity that man walked in when he was 8. You heard I call him a man because if God could see him king at 8 years old, he was considered a man. And come on now. So we really have to truly begin to grow in complete maturity in God. We allow every little thing to bother us as leaders. We allow every little thing to get under our skin. We always sad. We always laugh. We wear our hearts on our sleeves, and we wear our hearts sometimes on our head, and people just literally shooting bow and arrows. I don't know if you guys, I see right now you guys have seen the movie called Daredevil, where it was a guy and then a bullseye, and he would always hit his target, and then at one time he missed Daredevil, and he's like, I never miss. Let the no-name miss this time when it come to you. If you was that person that's not really complete maturity in leadership, and you always in your feelings and your mind and your emotions and your will and all that, don't let him miss this time. Don't let him hit you in the forehead with your heart on your forehead, on your chest, or on your sleeve. Oh, my God. Allow yourself to be in complete maturity and godliness and mind and character, and allow yourself to walk in the virtue and integrity of God, because the Lord said you can be perfect. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, touch your mind right now, because I'm touching mine, and say, I decree and declare that I walk in maturity of godliness in my mind, my character, and integrity and humbleness. And I am going to walk in perfection because the Lord said that I can walk in perfection. And not one word going to fall to the ground in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That began to right now to change your mindset. Hallelujah. Because one thing I'm going to tell you like this, and this is true, this is biblical. Whenever a leader walks in their feelings, the no-name know he got you. He know he got you. So when he know you're an emotional person, oh, man. You will be up and down. Remember King Saul? He was so emotional. He was always in his feelings. He never thought he was good enough. Even Samuel told him in 1 Samuel 16, he said, even though you found yourself small in your own eyes, God still chosen you to be king. Come on now. My God. He told him that. Because Saul saw himself so small and not worthy, so he was always in his feelings. That's how that spirit was even to torment him. He was always in his flesh. He was jealous of David because he wasn't, oh my God, mature. He didn't walk in godly mind and character to know that you was king, not David. And God would have never chosen David to be king. My God, if you would have did what you needed to do, come on now. Hallelujah. Eliminate that. I'm telling you, if you was a leader, and you walk in your feelings all the time, please cast that out on a day. I don't care if it's 5 times a day. Cast that stuff out, because when you do, oh, you a target. You a target. You can, I mean, somebody cannot even say your name on the bulletin board at church, and you are just, oh, man, get all these. Well, such and such didn't say my name. So what? Who cares? You got Jesus, huh? So what? They may not even tried to forget your name. If I was a little honest mistake, but you in your feelings because they didn't say your name. name. So what? They didn't, how my God, put your name up on a pedestal on the third, fourth, fifth Sunday. So what? Who cares? You are a leader. You know who you are. Hallelujah. So what? He didn't say hi to you. So what? He bumped into you. So what? Who cares? That stuff don't matter. It's all about the kingdom. It's all about God. It's always about laying hands on the sick. And so many, I've never seen so many people die from cancer in leadership, out of leadership, and all my life. I have to battle with this for the last 13 years, but there's so many people here today and gone tomorrow from that. Come on now, why are they dying so fast? Because the saints so much in all of their feelings, they're afraid to even lay hands on somebody that got the C word. They're afraid to cast out stuff, how I got somebody down to HIV or diabetes or stuff like that. They're afraid. They can't even get rid of pneumonia or influenza because they so much in their feelings. It's about laying hands on the sick, casting out devils, learning who you are, understanding the dreams you dream, walking your visions, accomplish things that God got, preaching the good news. It's about all that. It ain't about sitting up there worrying about being in your feelings. It's about doing the will of the Father, the one who sent you to do it. It's about winning the loss at any cost. It's about people's soul salvation. So from this day forth, meditate on Matthew 5:48. I just read it to you out the Amplified. Meditate on that. Get that in your spirit. So whenever your feelings or your mind and will and emotions come along, you can 86 that thing immediately and begin to be that complete mature leader. It's not going to happen overnight. It's a daily process. Anything you do over 30 days become a part of your lifestyle, and it becomes a part of routine. So after 30 days, it become a part of who you are. Yeah, you're going to be tested during the time here. You're going to go for it for 30 days, but in the midst of your test, 86 that thing and say, you know what? This is who I used to be. I'm not going to be this person anymore. Hallelujah. My God, my God, my God. So I'm going to open up the line to one person. Hallelujah, the first person that I see. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, the first person I want to pass. Pastor Rochelle, I see your number. The mic is yours. Do you have anything to say about what we just talked about?
Amen, hallelujah. Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Amen. You have anything you want to share?
Yes, and it's we're talking about leadership on today, and some people in leadership, they don't know their identity of who they are, you know, and so that's sometimes why people have problems, you know, and we just have to begin to, you know, cast all our cares upon God because he cares for us. And just to tell them to mold us and make us over again, you know. And so that's one of the problems that, you know, leadership have, you know. And so that's just the enemy that just tries to play tricks on the mind. So that is so big in the nation of our whole world of today, leaders not knowing who they are. You know, so that's a big thing, too. And this is a good topic, and it's just something just to help us in our everyday walk with God and just, you know, just us knowing who we are and what is our purpose on this earth on today. So I really thank God for the radio show and how it just teaches us about, you know, about wealth and, you know, if we have some, if we be wealthy, then, you know, our health, we'll be in good health. So, like she said, pray for wisdom, and I got something out of it today. So, I really thank God for that.
Amen, amen. Bless you, Pastor Rochelle. That's definitely it. A lot of leaders don't know their identity. It's kind of like with King Saul. Remember, even though the Lord chose him to be king, he still didn't accept his identity. He still didn't obtain his identity. Actually, everyone, you guys should get my book, Platinumpedia. If you don't have it, inbox me on Facebook, I'm at Ruby, and I will send it to you. But I only want to send it to people who really, truly is going to read it. It will bless your life. I'm not saying it because I've written it. I read it 6 times, and I promise you, it blessed my life. I'm like, oh, my God, your hand was in this one. I mean, and one of the topics I talk about is the spiritual identity, how the no-name hijack and jack and give us a virus. and how we walk in now the virus protection plan, and how he spoofed and how he catfished and how he hacked our identity, that we don't even know who we are in God. But when you begin to get that spiritual eye virus protection plan, it protects you from any demonic virus, it protects you from any demonic spoofing or any demonic catfishing or anything that hinders you from knowing your identity. So if you truly really want to know your identity, I promise you, if you can't purchase it, inbox me on Facebook or I'm in Ruby or text me and I will send you the virtual ebook. But only if you're going to really read it, because this book will change your life. I promise you. It's 86 pages of understanding the kingdom of God, and it will teach you to know who God is, to understand his voice, to walk in your identity, to understand the kingdom, and know who you are about the fivefold. It is a powerful book. So if you do want that, inbox me on Facebook, text me, or either hit me up on imandruby.com, and I'll inbox. And I will send it to you so you can virtually read it. I'm telling you, it will change your life. And that's confirmation to what you said, Pastor Rochelle, about what God had me put in the book back in February about our identity. Hallelujah. We're going to go into another song. Hallelujah. And then we're going to come back with another topic. And then we're going to be getting ready to head off in a little bit. Hallelujah. And we're going to go into, hallelujah, Jay Moss. Jump, jump. No matter what you face, know that you can jump up. Hallelujah. When Promise Anika says she's jumping up and jamming to the song, that made me think about this song, Jump, Jump. Hallelujah. So I'm going to play that, Jump, Jump by Jay Moss. We'll be back after this broadcast.
PDA, I need you to hit me upside the head. I mean, like you never hit me before.
Throw your hands up.
Come on.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. My God, jump, jump, everybody. Hallelujah. Since today is winning, wonderful, Wizard Capel's World Wednesday, hallelujah. Jump, jump, everybody, to get your wealth. Jump, jump, and get your wisdom. Hallelujah. Jump, jump, and walk in the perfection that the King have chosen us to walk in. Hallelujah. My God, my God. We're about to go into another topic, hallelujah, before we get off the air. Hallelujah. And we're going to talk about one of the things I think that all people in leadership or even in the body of Christ pretty much deals with. And it is, hallelujah, our wealth and our finances. Hallelujah. The question that I have that most people want to know is, why do men and women in the body of Christ struggle with their wealth and finances? And what is the solution for them to come out of their struggles? Prophet Sanika, the mic is yours to answer the question, then I'm going to open up to the next person on the air. The mic is yours.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The one piece of advice I can give them is to read Malachi 3 and trust what the Lord says, that if you pay your tithes, that he will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you should not have room enough to receive it. So I just thank the Lord, because if we actually just read what Malachi 3 says, we would know that also it says that he will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your grind, of your ground, neither shall your vine the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. So if you pay your tithes and offering, just know that the Lord is going to bless you. If you sow a seed, the Lord is going to bless you. Because in 2 Corinthians 9, it says, whoever sows sparsely will reap sparsely, but whoever sows generously will reap generously. So I think if you begin to trust God that he will open the windows of heaven and pour you out that blessing, you'll pay your tithe. And I just challenge everyone just to read Malachi 3 and 2 Corinthians 9 and just begin to know that God's word does not return void and that God does not lie. If he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And I just want people to know that that's the only way you'll be blessed is if you pay your tithes and offerings. And if you don't pay your tithes and offerings, you'll be cursed, as it says in Malachi 3, because you robbed God. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah. I know a lot of times, a lot of people, when they do pay tithes, because a lot of people say, well, I do tithe, and I'm still going through a financial, you know, dilemma. I'm still, you know, struggling in my finances. One thing that we have to do, and then tomorrow I'm going to explain more on that in the Wealthlistic workshop that we're having here live on the radio, is that when you tithe, sow a declaration, decree and declare on that. Decree and declare on your tithe. Put the word on it. Because he said that he'll open up the windows of heaven. You heard it, just read the word. And so you have to begin to have faith in that. And so when you decree and declare and you sow that, you begin to do that. And then a lot of times, a lot of us is, I'm going to read the scripture to you. Hold on 1 second. Is that a Hagar? I want to read this to you. I love to, when I say something, I love to get people the word so they know that is, you know, it's biblical. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, here we go. Hagar 1, 5, and 8. It says, now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways and thoughtfully reflect on your conduct. You have plenty much, but you harvest little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you do not have enough to be intoxicated. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages earns them just to put them in a bag with holes in it, because God has withheld his blessing. Hallelujah. A lot of times, I'm going to stop right there before I finish it up. A lot of times when we're tithing, sometimes we don't tithe as cheerfully as we're supposed to be. Sometimes, you know, we already, like you said, you have clothes, but you're cold. You have food, but you're still hungry. You ain't intoxicated enough, you know, and your blessings or anything. A lot of times we just say, oh, I got to pay this $200 and I could be using it for something else. I mean, come on now. You think like us, as I know me as a parent, if my kids give me something they don't want to give me, I'm going to give it back to them. Like, I want this, you know, so just think about it. We're giving God our tithes and we don't even really like we complain about giving it to them. How about this? This one, thank you, Lord. This is fresh on top of the press. We also tithe into ministry. We don't even like the leader. We don't like the leader. We don't like the ministry. We always run. We talked about that earlier. We're always putting our mouth on it. So that is also not, you know, we're tithing. We think it's always for the leader and the tithe. It's for the body of Christ to bless the kingdom of God. God don't care. This is what God does. God wants to see if we're going to be obedient to his word, not about us sowing into anything. He wants to see if we're going to be obedient. Remember, he owns everything anyway. A cattle on 1,000 hills and his earth, the Lord and the fullness thereof. He owns everything. He just wants to see as we're going to obey what he's saying. And so a lot of times we're sowing out of the realm of God. In order for us to tithe into the realm of tithe and of the blessings, we have to tithe in the realm of God. When we tithe, we have to tithe and put the realm of the word of God on it. You understand what I'm saying? Say, for example, you need healing, and you tithe, and you say, this tithe this month or this week or this day is for my healing. The Lord, you say, hear me, O Lord, I be healed. Save me, O Lord, I be saved, for thou art my praise. Lord, I put the tithe on this because you said the prayer offered in faith would make the sick person well, and the Lord raised them up. Lord, you said how you was wounded for my transgressions, you bruised for my iniquities, the chastisement of peace is upon you, by your stripes I'm healed. You said, Lord, that physician healed thyself. So you put that tithe for that in the realm of getting the manifestation. And a lot of times we're putting wealth in bags with holes in it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's like, for example, the Bible says that the blind can't lead the blind, both fall in the ditch. So we're tithing somewhere, and hallelujah, we're tithing to a blind leader. So to speak, we're tithing to somebody who don't even have faith in wealth or have faith in it, they're doubting. We do that a lot. A lot of times we do that. A lot of times we tithe to these big churches because we think it's a big church. And we say, okay, I'm going to tithe. But I have some people that got big churches. They don't have faith in that word. Trust me, I know. A lot of big leaders call me for prayer. Trust me, they don't have faith in the things that they preach. And so a lot of times we do that, and that's what bags with holes in it. I never forget, for years, I was tithing somewhere, and it was such a big thing that even the people will remember almost to the dollar how much that they, you know, because they looked at the books, how much I was tithing, and they were debating and talking about it or whatever. And, I mean, when I tell you, I think it was tithing galore for me because I needed to be healed. I wanted things to happen or whatever. And God let me know, yeah, you tithing, you faithful, and I appreciate that, but you tithing in a bag with holes in it because this ain't going to the kingdom. This money right here ain't going to the kingdom, my God. This is not going to this. It is going to their needs. It's not helping anybody. Nobody can get help in this place, my God. Nobody ain't getting a baloney. Ain't nobody getting anything here, my God. So, also, make sure that when you do it, make sure that you are, my God, walking in a cheerfulness. He loves a cheerful giver. I love to give because you know why? I'm telling you, it blesses and it opens up doors. So a lot of times, you know, we're not wealthy and walking in that because of that. And the rest of the verse says, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways and thoughtfully reflect on your conduct. Go up to the hill country. Bring lumber and rebuild my house temple. See, the tithe is to rebuild the house and the temple of the Lord, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord, accepting it done for my glory. He just wants us to be obedient. And sometimes, you know, we can tithe for 5, 7 months. We've been tithing for 6, 7 months, 8 months, 9 months straight, right? But before that, we wasn't even tithing for years. We can't expect God to automatically just give us a hatchway and highway. He wants to see our consistency, okay? Remember, faithful over a few things, he makes us ruler over many. So he wants to see our consistency. He wants to see if we're going to keep this thing going. And when you do tithe, oh, my God, the benefits that you have, you begin to get windfalls of wealth and prosperity and overflow. You begin to get unexpected, unexplainable things taking place. You begin to get long life and productive health. You begin to get so many things that will begin to manifest and come into your life. So begin to walk in the Winsanity anointing of sowing seed and being blessed, because it will truly bless your life. And I know a lot of people say, well, I only better get $400 a month. Remember the one with the two mites? Remember she gave all she had, and Jesus said she's going to inherit the kingdom of heaven because she gave all that she had, and she was happy to give, and she was excited to give, and she was a cheerful giver, and everybody else gave all that other stuff. It really was a non-other factor, because this woman outdid them because she gave all that she had. So remember that Proverbs 13, one of my favorites, he that gathers money little by little will make it grow, and he that is rich will act poor, and he that's poor will act rich. See, that's a wisdom for you, Proverbs 13. Just know that when you do save money, and my grandmother taught me this a long time ago, and then I'm opening up the line for one person to comment on what we talked about. My grandmother said, save every time you get paid. If you begin to save $10 out of every check, put it up. Don't touch it. The rest is a mercy. $50, whatever, then you can go up. I promise you, it lasts. I've been doing it for years. Every year I save a certain amount of money, and when the next year comes, maybe like $600, $700, literally save, $1,000 save, $1,200 save. I promise you, if you save money every month and don't touch it, it will literally last, because he that gathers money little by little, Proverbs 13, will make it grow. Actually, I know that you guys want the exact verse, and I'm going to give it to you now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. Proverbs 13 and 11. I'm going to read it to you now. Hallelujah. Remember, today is Winning Wonderful Wisdom Compels Wealth Wednesday. It says Proverbs 13 and 11, NIV. Dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. Remember, when you're tithing and you're sowing seed, you're sowing it into your spiritual 501K. You're sowing it into the kingdom. And so when you do that and you save money after that, it's gathering money to make it grow. I'm going to give you the four reasons why God wants to give us wealth, and then after that, I'm going to open up the lines. One. The wealth is for automatically when we get wealth. You know, a lot of us say, Lord, if I get on $1 million, I'm going to do that. The first thing God wants to do when we get that $1 million automatically is tithe the 10% off the box. That's for the kingdom. Two, if you decide to give an offering and sow a seed, that's two. That's good for that. One is to bless the kingdom when you get your wealth. Two is to bless your city, the widows, the hungry, those type of things. Three is for you to bless your family, your friends, whoever you want to do. And four is for you to save. Those are the four reasons why God wants to bless us. One, for the kingdom. Two, for the poor, the homeless, your city, your regions, your state, country, things like that. Three, for your family and your friends. And four is for to save. If not, first off, to bless your family, get no big house, no car, and go on a big extravagant trip and do all that, it's not for that. And that's why a lot of times, a lot of us in the body of Christ, we don't get the wealth, because our first thing is, oh, I ain't never had it so long, so when I get blessed, I'm going to get. No, if you automatically, he knows your heart. Remember, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs 2, death and destruction holds no secret from God, the same way God knows the heart of man. So remember, if God knows our heart, we can say all day with our mouth, honor him with our lips, but our heart is far from it. He's not going to bless until we allow our heart and our mouth to line up on one accord. Now, he knows the one that really will, if they got $1 million, have no problem to give him the body of Christ $100,000. Well, you know, he knows about that. He knows the person that's going to give another $100,000 to the poor and the widow in the city. He knows who will give another $100,000 to somebody who in need. And he knows who will, you know, bless their family or friends with another $100,000. He knows that. He knows who will really do that. So, oh, my God. So those are the four reasons God want to bless us with wealth. One, for the body of Christ. Two, for the homeless, the poor, the widows, the city. Three, for our family and friends. And four, for the saved. He wants us to bless our family and friends, but they ain't the top priority. Getting the house ain't the top priority. After you do those two things, you know, blessing your tithes, doing your tithes, and then blessing the homeless and the poor and all that, get all the houses you own. You can get all the cars you own. Hallelujah. And see, this is what one thing else also God let us know. A lot of times, we get our normal money, and we get every week, every 2 weeks, every month, or whatever, and we don't even tithe off that. So then we expect God to give us $1 million. How can God bless us with $1 million? He can't trust us with $1,000. Come on now, somebody. How can God bless us with $3 million if he can't even bless us with $3,000 or $300? Hallelujah. My God. I'm opening up the microphone, hallelujah, to the next person. That is Mother Pat. The mic is yours to comment on what we're talking about. Well, Mike.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessings, Queen Apostle Tashana, on this evening. As I was sitting here listening to what you were saying about wealth, I used to think, oh, God, I used to tie it all the time, just tie. Just seemed like I could never get a break. So one day I asked him, I said, I'm tithing. Just tell me what I'm doing wrong. Say, I want you to think about it. So I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about it, still couldn't understand it. He said, you really don't know, do you? And I said, no, I don't. I'm being obedient. I'm tithing. Say, yes, you are tithing. Yes, you are being obedient. But you are not a believer. And what I can do for you, until you believe in me, things are still going to remain the same. So I had to go to a place in my life, and I had to just sit, and I had to read, and I had to really fully understand the meaning of giving back to God. And it's not like he's asking us to give 100% or 50%. He's only asking us to give 10% of our tithes. So I say this on today. Once I got to that place, I just started seeing things manifest, you know, the manifestation in my life for as me being a cheerful giver and tithing back into the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. That is Mother Pat. I love that what you said. Now, that's it. You said you didn't believe. Hallelujah. Now, that's good. That right there, my God, that should have shaped up and literally shift our spirit. Hallelujah. You remember what Jesus said? Everything is possible for him who believes. If we believe, we shall receive. What we ask for in prayer, and it shall be ours. Hallelujah. And then you said, he ain't asking for 100%. I'm telling you, when God broke it down to me years ago, it made me really feel, my face went down when he said, I don't want much as your rent for tithes. I don't want much as your kids want. I don't want much as you want. I don't want much of your gas bill on. I don't want much of your electric bill on. I surely don't want much of your cable on. I don't want much of that. All I want is 10%, and you can have the 90% to do whatever you choose to. I was gone. I was like, wow, I never thought of it about that way until he said that, and then you confirmed that what he told me years ago. Hallelujah. He only wants 10%. And on tomorrow, oh, my God, he's going to break down. I'm telling you, wealth. We went to after tomorrow radio workshop broadcast, we're going to see wealth in a whole other way. We're going to appreciate wealth. We're going to appreciate health. We're going to appreciate prosperity. We're going to appreciate just God in general after tomorrow. Hallelujah. I'm going to open up the lines for a few people. I'm going to mute like about 10 lines. So if you have anything to say, because we're about to get off soon, I'm going to have probably so we can do announcements, and after that, we're going to get off. So if you have anything you want to share, how this broadcast blessed your life on today, the mic is yours. So if you're on the line and you want something to say, just begin to speak. I probably unmuted your phone. Hallelujah. Anybody listen to the broadcast want to share or say how this broadcast blessed your life, or how what we talked about, wisdom and leadership and wealth and different things blessed your life, the mic is yours.
Amen, amen, amen. This is Pastor Firestarter, Prophetess Firestarter. Hallelujah. Blessings, everyone. It's good, hallelujah, to hear that we're discussing kingdom finances, how we obtain it, how we should embrace it, and it's how we treat it. Because I listened to Joyce Myers a few years ago, she was talking about this same subject somewhere along the same lines. And what she said is, if you're always just throwing your money around, and you're not taking care of it, putting it in its rightful place in your wallet, or you're just taking it haphazardly, sowing it into different places, like into the lottery, you're sowing it into beer and wine and alcohol, and also sowing into cigarettes, alcohol. Be careful of where you sow your seed, glory to God. And so as I heard Apostle Tashana talk about it, Prophet Tanika mentioned Malachi 3, we ought to be, hallelujah, excited when we give. Because if you give it grudgingly, It's not doing you any good. We ought to give it with good measure, be a cheerful giver, and let him press it down, shake it together, and cause it to run over. Because when he causes it to run over, it never runs out. So that's what I had to share, Apostle Shauna. I turn it back. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. That's confirmation to what I already have down for tomorrow. I actually studied the word a week and a half ago, but we had to postpone it till tomorrow about where we sow our seed. So that's confirmation. Hallelujah. My God, and like we just said, he loves a cheerful giver. I'm telling you, he wants us to be excited about sowing and seed and tithing the things that we do. Hallelujah. Anyone else? You can just begin to speak if you want to say how this show blessed you on today. The mic is yours.
Queen Apostle Shauna, this is Evangelist Mother Pat. I know I've already spoken, but God put it in my spirit to say this. We have to remember God gave us the ultimate gift. That was his son, Jesus Christ. So you mean to tell me we can't tithe 10%? We can't give back to him? That's something for not just everybody else to think about. That's something for me to think about, too, as well. He gave his son to us. He gave us the ultimate gift. So we need to be cheerful givers. As you said, as Prophetess Anika said, and as Pastor Marcia said, we need to be cheerful givers because God gave us the gift of life. And that's the ultimate gift. Amen. I'm going back on mute.
Amen. Amen. That's confirmation to what you just said about what we read earlier about King Solomon, you know, in 1 Kings 3, you know, before when he went to Gibeon, he gave a God a big old offering, and then he went to sleep. You know, he didn't even expect God to come right then and there and sleep. But because he was a cheerful giver and he was happy to give, it shaken God and moved God. You know, we all say God is shifting, God is shifting, but God let me know. They said he's going to shift, but what is it they want me to shift? Oh, my God. What do they want me to shift? Do they want me to shift their health? Do they want me to shift their anointing? Do they want me to shift their wealth? Do they want me to shift their finances? Do they want me to shift their minds? Do they want me to shift their hearts, their spirits? Do they want me to shift their unity? What do they want me to shift? My God. And I was like, wow, you know, I didn't think it that way because we always go, oh, it's a shifting. God is shifting atmosphere. He's like, atmosphere is putting a box on me. It's putting a lid on me. I need you to take the lid off. The atmosphere is only the beginning of the horizon. It's only the beginning. What do you want me to shift? You want me just to shift the atmosphere? Then I will. See, remember, whatever we expect God to do, he's going to do. So if we expect God to only be a $100 God, he's going to be a $100 God. My God. We only expect God to heal us from a cold, he's going to heal us from a cold. We only expect God just to lose 10 pounds, we only going to lose that. Whatever we expect more of God, that's what he is going to do in our lives. Hallelujah. I'm only one more person that I'm going to speak, and then we're going to do the announcements, and then we're going to get off. Hallelujah. Any other person have something they want to share that did not get a chance to speak on today about the topics that we spoke about? The mic is yours. All right. Amen, amen. Prophet Anika, the mic is yours for announcements.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Our announcements are as follows. Tonight, at 6 o'clock will be our Biblical Expressions Bible Study hosted by our Mother's Board, and it will be our very own Evangelist Mother Pat and Superintendent Prophetess Mother Carolyn. She will be bringing the word on tonight at 6 p.m. on our main line. Tomorrow night, live on our radio show, it will be our Wedlistic Conference hosted by our very own Chief Apostle Tashauna Wiley. She speaks about the difference between a seed, the difference between your tithes and your offerings, and how to make sure that you're doing everything you can so that the Lord can bless you with wealth, health, prosperity. We have also the Walking Prosperity Line that meets nightly at 11:59 p.m., hosted by our very own Pastor Wisdom and Prophetess Firestarter. We have tomorrow morning at 6, we have Saturday at 6:30 a.m., Sunrise Service with I Am a Ruby Jacksonville. The number will be posted on the I Am a Ruby Jacksonville website for all who would like to call in and participate. We are also asking Ms. Sarah staff to meet us on our line at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we continue to pray and cover our chief apostle. Sunday at 3 p.m. live on our radio show will be our gospel explosion, and it will be presented by the apostles this upcoming Sunday. This concludes our announcements for the week, and I turn it back over to you, Chief Apostle Tashauna.
Amen, amen, hallelujah. Also, Prophet Seneca, could you give them the main line number so they'll know what number they can call in for tonight and for our prayers?
Amen, amen. That number will be 712-432-1212. Access code is 214-925-013, pound.
Hallelujah. Call in on tonight. I'm telling you, the mothers, they do their thing. Hallelujah. It's going to be a powerful word. It is going to bless your life. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, just get ready for, oh, my God, God is doing great things. After this broadcast on today, just know that you walk in perfection. Remember to read Matthew 5:48. Meditate on 1 Kings 1, 2, and 3. And begin to just read a proverb a day. A proverb a day, keep the no-names away. Hallelujah. And the no-names is the enemy and all the spirit that goes with it. So begin to start meditating and reading a proverb every day. And begin to just have faith in God and just know that God is just going to do everything that he says he's going to do. Hallelujah. We're going to leave out with Tripp Lee. The song is called Come Close to God. Listen to the words of this song. I love it. And the song, he's saying, Lord, I give my love to you forever. So listen to the song, and you be all be blessed. And what do we say when we get off the air? Agape!
Agape!
Agape! Love everyone. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hey, I feel like I should tell a story. Not a silly story, though. The way he revered in his words.
Now was born in 87. His parents were so happy, rejoicing in their new blessing. He preached like the same time, death was that impression. His parents gazed in his eyes, adoring him as he hollers. He got his eyes from his mama, he got his nose from his father. It's crazy how this baby is so precious, but I'm saddened. He got his name from grandfather, it's a prophecy from Adam. Adam, that's how it goes. It goes. Look as he grows, you can see he's so blind. His eyes, even they close, he's so weak in his shows. He can't keep from what he knows is wrong. He knows it's bad, but dang, he want it though. And out the wet his years, he look good to his peers and his parents and himself. But if we get on the deal, on the inside, we see them from the start till the dark. Till the Savior stepped in and gave him a new heart. I know I was blind,
oh Lord, but now I see. This is the sun from above to come and rescue me. He said, I have the world, maker of you and me. His beauty shines so bright for all of us to see. Now that my faith is clear, oh Lord, we sing your praise. And pray that those in the world will turn and take your place. Father, we thank you for eyes to see. So we can know you and love you forever.
In the past, like my mind was in the trance, incapable of doing good, or even finding him the task. But beyond what I can grasp, my righteousness is red. So we had to do well to work by his design. You do the man, man, who gets the glory? Hey, who gets the praise? Predestined, I was elected, resurrected from the grave. Yo, this love was never based on my past or present state. On anything that I obtained, I was a mess for blessed grace. By grace, I'm in love with him. He gave me something within. He doesn't love me because of me. No, he loves me because of him. No need to have to save and raise me when I was dead. No, he grabbed me at the morning and a praise of his name was spread. He died for all he would save. It's crazy to save your blood. A rage was taken with dread. He gave me some grace instead. What kind I wouldn't resist? I can't praise be to him. And I'm confident if I'm in him, I'ma make it to the end. With eyes closed,
I know I was blind. Oh Lord, but now I see. It's just a sign from above to come and make me in. It's the light of the world, the maker of you and me. This beauty shines so bright for all of us to see. Now that my face is clear, oh Lord, we sing your praise. And pray that those in the world were to take your place. Father, we thank you for eyes to see.
Open, that's just so that I can quote them. I'm hoping that I behold them until I lay in the grave. I'm praying I stay in motion, gazing without a face. She gave me, baby, I'm focused. I'm praying out through my 20s. I'll see them in 2020. Looking at them till I look like them, almost like it's 20. So merciful, his word is so thick. I'm telling many, I'm at the glory of Christ, trying to rip them without a city. You know, my experience wasn't unique. All of us are born blind and did not sin. And in desperate need of a savior. I'm also not alone in that he opened my eyes. There's a whole bunch of us across the globe who we saved. Now our eyes are open to view everything through the right lens and to behold his beauty forever. Now we seek to behold more of him and devote our lives to helping others see him for who he is.
I know I was just blind, oh Lord, but now I see.
Yeah.
He sent your son from above to come and rescue me. He's the light of the world, maker of you and me. His beauty shines so bright for all of us to see. Now that my vision's clear, oh Lord, we sing your praise. And pray that those in the world will turn and take your place.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for
eyes
to
see. Lord.
So we can know you and love you forever.
Everyone has to turn from their sin. Jesus Christ, the Savior of our believers.
Hallelujah.
Agape.
I got it.